Welcome back for another episode of the Ross Bolin Podcast. Shockingly, I am Ross Bolin, responsible for the R&B and RBP. Here with my co-host, Jared Borislow, responsible for the P. Jared, how are you?
Can't wait to give you a big load of P in this episode, Ross.
I don't think that's what we call that.
Well, podcast.
You don't call it a load of P.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a nice warm load of pee. It's warm. It's going to be
heartwarming. But I'm saying urine doesn't get talked about that way.
Why not?
Just doesn't. Did you see that Kanye is pulling what I would call a Bill Murray?
I mean, there's a lot of things that could mean, but I'm excited to hear what your definition is.
Where late in your career, once you've reached legend status, you just show up to events, bars, and the like, alone, as if you were an everyman. So Bill Murray will like show up to a bar, go behind the bar and start serving people drinks, or like show up to a stranger's wedding and give a toast, shit like that. And you hear all these stories about him. It's like made him even more into this weird folklore legend. Well, after the listening party for his much discussed and yet to be released Donda album in Atlanta, Kanye hit an Atlanta United soccer match the next day in the same exact outfit.
Do you think he even took that off after the listening party? Or do you think he slept in that?
One step further, Jared, there are rumors that he is living in the stadium.
Actually?
Dead serious.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's a new stadium. I bet you they have like a very nice like.
No, this isn't a bit. Bedroom. It's not a joke I wrote. That's an actual thing. People think he's living there right now. And is there any reason for us to believe he wouldn't be? No. He's wearing the same outfit the next day at an event in that stadium. The man walked off the set of Donda into the locker room, didn't even take a shower, didn't even take his clothes off, didn't even remove the ski mask, went to sleep, woke up the next day, 15 hours later, let's say, because he was wiped. That was an emotional performance. And he wanders out back into the stadium where he now lives, like Tom Hanks in The Terminal, and he sees, hey, a soccer match. So he goes and sits in the fucking stadium in the rafters and enjoys with the other patrons.
He wasn't in the rafters. He was like field level. He was like right in the bottom area.
What?
Did you see the videos? He was like walking. He was like by the field.
Oh, no. He sat in the stands, Jared.
Yeah, I'm saying like near the field. He was like 10 rows up or some shit.
Oh, like he had good seats?
Yeah, great seats. Like maybe you get good seats if you live in the stadium.
I would assume so. Or if you were Kanye West. But imagine being an unexpected spectator at a freaking MLS soccer match and Kanye West sits down next to you in a giant Kool-Aid man, puffy jacket, ski mask, and clown shoes and just starts filming you and everything around him because he took a video and put it on Instagram casually like a total normie, just one, everybody knows the rules, but of like, just like the people around him chanting just to show the world like, hey, yo, I'm at this fucking soccer match right now, just being me. But also in this outfit still. And the reason I know that is because there were people filming him back, and it is just the best. What would be the worst place, though, if you were at a random event and Kanye sits next to you that he could sit? Like, do you want him right in front of you so you can, that you are so distracted by him the whole time that, like, you're not even going to see the event? Because the worst to me is, like, imagine one seat up, like, one row from you up. Like, you can't see him, but he can see you. That's terrifying.
Well, yeah, because he's just going to be filming you the whole time, maybe. You got to keep looking backwards and be like, is he filming me or not?
So then you're not watching the event because you're turned around staring at him the whole time. And he's like, what the hell is your deal? And he's probably filming you. And the next thing you know, you're famous for being creepy and staring at Kanye.
I also wouldn't want him to sit in front of me because his jacket is so big it would be a view-obstructed seat.
It's also just so bright.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. That would cost him, like, optic nerve damage. It's like a high visibility, like hunting jacket.
There's an epilepsy warning on the back.
Yeah, it's. I don't think it didn't seem like he stayed for the whole game. I don't think he was actually like there, you know, for the sport.
Why do you think he didn't stay for the whole game?
I saw videos of him leaving mid game.
Oh,
like running up the stairs, and everybody's like, Kanye.
How do you know he wasn't going to get a hot dog?
That's a good point. Everybody was leaving with him, though. Like, everybody around him was leaving with him. Maybe he just had, like,
Everyone around Kanye was following Kanye?
Okay, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
I actually have really high hopes for Donda as an album now. like after the chance to absorb it all and make jokes about it. I think he turned in a rough draft, like a first draft, got some feedback, made some notes, actually physically on his phone during the show, got the attention of Jay-Z, Rick Rubin, and the like, and now he's cooking. And we'll see what we get in a couple weeks, maybe. More likely a couple months. But I actually take back everything negative I've ever said about Kanye, even in the Red Hat era. Seriously. I'm just, at this point, purely thankful for the dude. Like, thankful he's been willing to stick it out through the suicidal thoughts and bipolar and mental health issues and personal struggles. I'm thankful for the habitual line stepper of all habitual line steppers. So much so that I'm going to do a mental health minisode on Kanye today as well. If you're interested, it will be available exclusively on patreon.com/RossBolin podcast for supporters of the show and of Bolin Media in the Enforcer tier or above. It's a $10 minimum pledge monthly to access 2 mental health minisodes per month on top of everything else you get on Patreon, which we'll get into at the end of the episode. But if you want to hear me talk Kanye as it pertains to mental health, which I think if you can't really talk Kanye without talking about that side of it. And if you've never really heard that side of his story, I know enough of it to at least shine some light on it in a way that will maybe give you a totally different view of the man. So patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast for more RBP each and every month, including a couple mental health minisodes and more. Stick around to the end of the episode to hear more details about Patreon. If you know anything about me, it's very likely you know my dogs, my 2 8-year-old toy Aussies, Bruce and Bella. I love them like family. I want them taken care of, which is why I'm so stoked about our sponsor, Jinx, the official food and treat provider of all the Bolin Media pups, including Jared's awesome dog, Millie. Today's episode of RBP is brought to you by Jinx, and look, it's simple. Our modern dogs do more sleeping and lounging than they do hunting or working, and to keep our pups happy and healthy, most modern kibble falls short of the nutrition that dogs need. Real quality ingredients without the added fillers. Dog parents, meet Jinx, the internet's fastest growing dog wellness brand, your dog's favorite new kibble. Treats and dental chews with recipes proven to support digestion, immunity, and heart health. Jared, it's awesome.
My dog Millie loves Jinx. I feel so bad because we fed her the food we thought was like okay for like 8 months, and the second we gave her Jinx, she was obsessed with it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Jared, it was horrible.
I've been feeding her like cafeteria slop this whole time, and now she loves Jinx.
I've put up videos on my Instagram of one of my 4 dogs that is now eating Jinx, but the 90-pound Doberman Harvey, he lays down when he eats his food now, and it's like he just looks so happy. And I usually have to give him like a half of another bowl because he comes over and just bugs the shit out of me until I give him more because he loves it so much. But Jinx was designed with picky eaters in mind. If it's not your dog's new favorite food, the Jinx team will make it right with their 100% money-back guarantee. Again, we've got 2 toy Aussies, a giant 90-pound Doberman, a Cavalier Pomeranian, and an Aussie Doodle, all loving Jinx over here. Try Jinx. Get 40% off your first subscription order at thinkjinx.com/RBP. Your dog deserves a cleaner kibble designed for modern doghood that they actually want to eat and that you can actually feel good about giving them. Your dog will love it or your money back.
I need to post a video.
What are you waiting for?
Millie and Jinx. People know I'm not lying.
40% off. Well, Jared, everybody believes you. Nobody thinks you're lying. Thinkjinx.com/RBP. thinkjinx.com/RBP to support our podcast and your fur family at the same time. Next segment.
Grab your light. This is Stop the Wikipedia when you're high.
We got a good one today, and there's a reason we're doing this one that I will get into toward the end of it. Woodstock 99 is what you type into your old Wikipedia machine there, the world's online encyclopedia. Woodstock of 99. Everybody's familiar with Woodstock, right? If you're an American, you've heard of Woodstock. If you're really into music internationally and you're not an American, you've heard of Woodstock. It was one of the most famous music festivals to ever take place in the history of our great nation back in the old what? The OG one was, I think, in 69.
Nice.
And it was the hippies, man. That was the hippie era music festival showing the world, you know, that peace, love, and rock and roll could get you through anything, man, even Vietnam or whatever. I wasn't alive. I'm 34.
I want to say that I think Woodstock, the original one, probably spawned like Coachella, Lollapalooza.
I mean, probably.
Like, I mean, I don't know. I think there were music festivals before that.
I think it did.
Right? You have to be able to say that.
There were music festivals before that, but nothing organized enough and nothing brandable enough to be repeatable like Woodstock was. Which brings us to Woodstock of 99. It was held July 22nd to 25th of 1999. The second large-scale music festival after Woodstock 94 that attempted to emulate the original Woodstock Festival of 1969. So they wanted to kind of bring the 69 festival to the new generation, okay? To the 90s, man. They wanted to show the 90s kids peace, love, and rock and roll, which when I get to the lineup in a few minutes is going to sound really fucking stupid because the vibes had changed, son.
Yeah, this is the grunge era of music.
This was Columbine.
Yeah.
This wasn't hippies in a field smoking pot shirtless anymore, okay? The 90s weren't that, and to make matters even worse, the site they booked to host Woodstock 99 was a fucking Air Force base.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Air Force base closed the B-52 base 4 years earlier in 1995. It was converted to a business and technology park, but very much had all of the structure of an Air Force base still, including the massive perimeter fence, which is one of the reasons they chose this site, because they've had a lot of issues historically over the years with Woodstock and ticket scalping, and then just straight up people breaking down the fences and coming in and them losing a bunch of money as a result, obviously. So the Air Force base, the 90s, these vibes are not Woodstock. And I'll tell you, it didn't go well, Jared.
Yeah, well, so I remember watching a YouTube video. One specific thing I remember related to the Air Force base situation is that the entire Air Force base, obviously, is black asphalt tarmac. And apparently,
does that sound like it would be a cooling factor for you in July, Jared?
And they didn't have...
July 22nd to 25th, Jared?
They didn't have enough water available for all the people. So if you didn't bring your own water, like, you were fighting to get water, and then you're also, like, in a 115-degree environment because all the heat of summer is beating down against the tarmac and getting reflected right back up your butthole.
Yeah, so there's a documentary out right now. It's called Woodstock 99, Peace, Love, and Rage that brought me to want to do this stuff to Wikipedia when you're high. And it came out, I believe, like last week on the whatever year anniversary of that, because obviously it's July 26th as we speak. And it's not funny. It's really crazy, but it's like so unbelievable when you watch it because Firefest looks like Coachella by comparison. Like, not really. Yeah. I mean, it just looks so much less shitty when you compare it to 99, Woodstock 99.
Yeah, a lot of people have seen maybe the DMX set. You're like, oh my God, that festival looks awesome. And the festival was absolutely not awesome.
It was absolutely not awesome. And the thing is, if you took footage from any individual headliner's set, a lot of the really legendary ones like DMX, Korn, have footage that you would be like, that must have been the most incredible music festival of all time.
Kid Rock.
But if you look at the overwhelming story, the large story, the big picture story about what happened at this 3-day festival, holy mother of shit. It was a total, 4 days. It was a total disaster. Okay, so police investigated 4 alleged instances of rape that occurred during one concert, okay? Eyewitnesses reported a crowd surfing woman being pulled down into the crowd and getting gang raped in the mosh pit during Limp Bizkit's set. A volunteer also reported seeing a gang rape during the Korn performance. Approximately 12 trailers, a small bus, and a number of booths and portable toilets were damaged by fire. 6 people were injured. When they say damaged by fire, what happened was they were lit on fire. It was a huge fire. Multiple huge fires all over the place. Total Armageddon scene. People are getting sexually assaulted left and right. I mean, it was chaos. Here's the lineup. Korn, Limp Bizkit, DMX, Ice Cube, Buck Cherry, Jewel?
Why is
George
Jewel
Clinton and the P-Funk All-Stars, Insane Clown Posse, The Roots, James Brown, Bush, The Offspring, Moby, who is heavily featured in the documentary and is one of the best parts. He just speaks to, like, the utter shit fest. Him and his band finished their set and went, let's get the fuck out of here, and immediately left. Like, head for the hills. We got to go now. And that's Moby after Moby's set. And again, even Moby's vibes were so incorrect for this scene. It was like all, it was like 600,000 angry white 23-year-olds in backwards fitting baseball caps.
And we're talking backwards fitting fitted baseball caps, not snapbacks.
Yeah, fitted.
These are backwards fitted baseball cap guys. You don't want to fuck with them.
No. So I continue. Moby, Sheryl Crow, live. The Chemical Brothers, Willie Nelson, Everlast, Creed.
Let's go.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, Elvis Costello, Rusted Root, Send Me On My Way, Collective Soul, Megadeth, Godsmack, Fatboy Slim.
Ooh, Fatboy Slim.
Metallica, Limp Bizkit, Counting Crows,
Mr. John,
Dave Matthews Band, Kid Rock, Wyclef Jean.
Dave Matthews Band and Kid Rock back to back. Is that, are there any more opposite vibes?
These are just the people worth listing. That's not the entire lineup even. That's enough A-list acts to put together 15 separate music festivals in 2021. Seriously.
Which is why 400,000 people went to this.
Which is why, but then if you look at the real headliners, right? Because it didn't matter if you threw in James Brown or George Clinton or whatever. The real headliners, or DMX even. Well, actually, that's not true. DMX was absolutely one of the real headliners. It's just an overwhelmingly white crowd. And as the documentary gets into, it was one of the first times ever that a rap artist had performed for a largely white crowd of that size and had them actively sing along lyrics that had the N-word in them. Which is just really, really interesting, especially in context with how the 90s went and where we're at now and how this entire music festival went. Because it was just the most terrifying group of angry white people you've ever fucking seen, and that includes the storming of the Capitol.
I mean, this was much bigger.
This shit was nuts. It's scary when you're watching it. Like, you'll see a chick, like, crowd surfing topless, and you're just like, oh, that's not good. The bands were stopping their performances and asking people to stop assaulting women. And then there was Fred Durst, who was actively encouraging them to burn the place to the ground.
He said that?
I mean, I'm not taking words directly out of his mouth, but like, watch the footage. It's crazy.
Jacksonville's finest.
Give me something to break. When he does that song, dude, yeah, they just break everything, you know? They just fucking and set it on fire, which I think is what you're supposed to do when they play. In all fairness, the people at fault here, mostly MTV, it turns out, but also the festival organizers who have tried to pass all the blame on to MTV, including co-founder Michael Lang, Woodstock co-founder, who has since referred to it as MTV stock since the original founders had very little, if any, control, according to him, which when you watch the documentary, you don't feel like the founders should get out of here, you know, scot-free. Like, they deserve some blame. This was a very avoidable disaster, is what I mean. And if you looked at this lineup and you saw DMX and Buck Cherry and Insane Clown Posse and fucking Creed and Red Hot Chili Peppers who perform in the nude and Godsmack and Megadeth and Limp Bizkit and Kid Rock, I think their bassist just was butt naked in this one. It's just insane. And I'm pretty sure the lead singer just had a sock on his cock and that was it. But it was not a good situation, bro. This is not one you wanted your daughter or your girlfriend or your wife or anyone you knew with any sexual body parts at, because people were just getting got left and right. Woodstock 99. Not your grandparents' Woodstock. That was the vibe they wanted to sell when they were moving tickets.
That's accurate.
It wasn't their grandparents' Woodstock. It wasn't. Your biggest concern wasn't like, somebody spiked the acid, man. And then it turns out that's just an urban legend, or actually some of it wasn't, or whatever. Go look it up. Or listen to the episode where I stuffed the Wikipedia when you hide that. I'm sure I did at some point. Who could remember?
Well, I just heard the news today. God. You think that song would have calmed the crowd down? They're all thinking about, like, you
it's
know,
gonna change.
Having kids and settling down.
Fatherhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. All those 25-year-old white dudes in fucking Fred Durst Yankees caps stopped and went, thought about their already 3-year-old kids. Yeah.
If I had just one wish.
The worst part of the doc is watching people like Wyclef do an homage to the original Woodstock and like Jimi Hendrix and set his guitar on fire and like nobody in the crowd have any fucking clue what's going on. It was the worst. Like people like to pick generations of American culture and decide whether or not they were trash. Trash or not trash, the 90s, trash.
Yeah, utter trash.
Look, I'm not saying I didn't jam or maybe still do jam some of these bands or throw on Nookie from time to time or listen to like Falling Away From Me from Korn or whatever. And I definitely listen to Creed constantly, especially on Twitch, because it's funny to me and also because I love it. But this was the worst decade of music. And just the worst vibes, and the fashion was okay. A lot of it's actually coming back right now, which is weird.
Oh, yeah.
Travis Scott just loves him some 90s vibes.
A lot of Stussy, right?
Shitting it out all over these kids. That's how they reach these kids. Anyway, don't go to Woodstock. Oh, the great thing is they're asking the founders, like, will there ever be another Woodstock? By the way, they tried to do this again in 2019, and it failed miserably, and they ended up having to cancel it. It was the 50-year anniversary, I think, or something like that, of the original. And even now, he was like, there's always a chance it could be another Woodstock. I'm like, no, there isn't. It's fucking over. Either you hard rebrand or you get out. You know what I'm saying, Jared?
Oh, I know what you're saying. You know what I'm hearing?
What are you hearing, Jared?
Oh yeah.
Delicious bacon. That's, oh, my gosh. Oh, if you could see and taste this bacon from moinkbox.com, you would order it right now. Right now. It's the best bacon, the best steak, the best chicken, the best salmon you'll ever eat. And it won't come from a grocery store. You'll only find it on the family farm and caught by independent Alaskan fishermen. That's why you need moinkbox.com. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and wild-caught Alaskan salmon direct to your door, helping family farms become financially independent outside of big agriculture. Their animals are raised outdoors. Their fish swim wild in the ocean. And Moink meat is free of antibiotics, hormones, sugar, and all the other junk you find in prepackaged meat in the meat aisle.
And guess what, Ross? You may have seen on our Instagram story.
Oh, I did.
I cooked up the bone-in ribeye
Moink.
From Moink. You can taste the difference. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, Moink. I could never taste the difference between the very cheap, you know, grocery store discount ribeye that looks like a
Moink.
Bad and a very fancy steak. It's just staked meat. No, you can taste it. You can taste just like the marbling is better. The fat's better. It just tastes all natural. It tastes so good. Very, very, very good steak.
Moink.
I will be, follow us on Instagram at the Ross Bowling Podcast. I will be cooking my way through my Moink box.
Moink. Sign up at moinkbox.com/Ross to get a year of bacon for free.
Yep.
And then pick what meats you want delivered with your first box. Change what you get each month. Cancel anytime. Moink was founded by 8th generation farmer who was featured on Shark Tank. Host Kevin O'Leary said it's the best bacon he's ever tasted. Jared and I agree. Jamie Siminoff, creator of the Ring Doorbell, invested in Moink. Join the Moink movement today. Go to moinkbox.com/Ross right now. And listeners of RBP get free bacon for a year. That's 1 year of the best bacon you'll ever taste. But for a limited time, M-O-I-N-K. Moinkbox.com/Ross. That's moinkbox.com/Ross. The technically 2020 Olympics are underway, and things have gone pretty poorly so far for the old US of A.
I need to add that pretty good to the soundboard, don't I?
That would be a good one, indeed. Day one ended with no medals for Team USA. Zero.
Goose egg,
which has not happened since 1972. Then something else that hasn't happened in a really, really long time happened when Team USA, our basketball team, the men's U.S. national basketball team, I don't know what the fucking thing is called, but we lost to France. We lost to the French. We lost to Rudy fucking Gobert, man. We lost to France.
A lot of people say Rudy Gobert might be the best basketball player in the world under FIBA rules because you don't need to move out of the paint. He just stands there.
FIBA is stupid.
Yeah.
Why did they change the fucking buzzard sound? They couldn't just use the same one we have here in America, the NBA one that everybody acknowledges is the proper buzzer sound for a basketball game. We use it down to like the middle school level here. They're out there with one that's like, moink. It's just bizarre. It really does make a strange sound though. It's like, meh.
Wait, do you remember? I don't remember what sporting event it was, but a while back, there was some like large tournament or something where they replaced the buzzer sound with like a car engine going like vroom, because they were like sponsored by some car engine company.
That's idiotic.
And so every time that happened, I was like, what the fuck is that? Is there a car backfiring outside? And no, it was just the buzzer that they replaced.
Did you know that skateboarding is in the Olympics for the first time?
Yeah, I have got a question about that. Why would it's great that skateboarding is being in the Olympics. I think it's cool they're adding more sports in. Why is the X Games at the exact same time as the Olympic skateboarding competition? The X Games are going on right now.
What?
Yes.
I mean, that doesn't make any fucking sense at all.
Why would they double book that?
Don't you... What?
Yeah, I know.
Somebody fucked up. Somebody needs to get fired. That's a terrible job scheduling. Good Lord. Come on. I thought they wanted to grow the games. The games.
Another thing with USA basketball, it's the first time that they've lost in the Olympics since Nick Saban was on the LSU coaching squad.
Holy Lord. Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing. I don't think many people realized how long it had been. My dad was like, we've lost recently. I was like, no.
No, I thought we did. Have we won gold?
That was those world championships or whatever we choked in recently, like the Euro version of the World Cup or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but have we won gold in every Olympics since however long ago that was?
I don't think so, because I remember like a struggle. I guess if we hadn't lost, then yes. Yes. We've won gold in every goddamn Olympics. Yeah, if we hadn't lost a game, then we definitely won gold. That's how basketball works. If you don't lose, you get everything. You get the gold. I want the gold. Give me the gold.
I might be wrong. Apparently, July 17th.
It's another sound for the soundboard, the leprechaun one.
July 17th, I guess the X Games ended. So maybe it's one thing where they flew directly over there.
Oh, come on, Jared. They're not even going on at the same time. We made all that fun of those people, and they did a good job scheduling.
Well, I don't know if they did a good job. It's immediately after. Like, they did the X Games,
yeah,
and they fly
up
right over.
You're
there.
All warmed up and nimble and ready to go, like a spider monkey.
Guess what? They didn't help Drew Holiday or Devin Booker or Chris Middleton, because we still lost. So,
well,
boom.
They weren't in the X Games.
Yeah, but they were in the finals.
That's not skateboarding. Different sport.
You think being warmed
out.
Up in...
You don't know anything about X Games, Jared. You're not fucking radical enough, dude.
I do. I've watched every X Games, dude. Sal Masekela, announcer.
I'm saying, like, live the life like I do and just board hard. I do
You
know
could
X
not
Games
skateboard.
At all. At all, at all. At all. Like, I can't do anything.
You ever see these kids on scooters nowadays?
And I want to be clear. I don't want to either. What's wrong with y'all? That's just dangerous. Breaking ankles.
Broken wrists is what I'm worried about.
Cracking your teeth, your wrists.
Do you know what I can't do if I don't have a wrist?
I know what you can't do.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Also an Olympic sport. That's the only one we have medaled in. We got a silver. We lost to Germany.
In what?
You know.
In cranking?
Yeah.
We lost to Germany?
Yeah. Japan was right on our ass, but we still got in there. By the way, they won skateboarding. We can't even win fucking skateboarding.
I believe we invented that sport.
Hey, California, what the fuck? Maybe pause all moving down here to Austin and remember that you're supposed to be skateboarding your cocks off so that we can, and your vaginas off so that we can win goddamn medals in the Olympics. It's the first time they ever had the skateboards in the Olympics, and we lose?
Well, maybe we're all tired from the X Games, just saying. Possibility.
I'm just sick of the excuses from America. We need to just come clean and admit it. We haven't been focusing enough on skateboarding. Nobody's been listening enough to Pharrell or Lil Wayne.
Does Pharrell skateboard?
Yeah, he's a big skateboarder. One of his nicknames is literally Skateboard P.
Is that better or worse than Playoff P?
It's a lot better.
Skateboard P.
Except that Playoff P isn't bad anymore somehow because he fucking redeemed himself.
How?
By scoring 40 in back-to-back games in a must-win series.
Well, they did.
They didn't win, yeah. But don't get me wrong. Paul George still isn't like a top five guy at all. But he can be called Playoff P. It's just shitty if you're so bad in the playoffs that you can't even earn your Playoff P nickname, which is where he was at before this playoff. So I'm kind of happy for the guy, you know? You know?
I guess.
What Olympic sport have you most enjoyed watching so far? You haven't supported the Olympics at all, have you?
I have had them on, but they keep being the preliminary, like, play-in, you know, like, I find that boring. I like high stakes.
Yeah, so the first thing you find out after Team USA goes down, as everybody's losing their minds on Twitter, is that the game didn't even matter, turns out.
It's a
preliminary game?
It's a group stage.
The fuck? I think we could lose like a whole nother one without being in trouble. Something. Anyway, I have a feeling Kevin Durant will come out and slaughter everybody. Go ahead, Jared.
Fencing.
Oh.
That's the one I've enjoyed the most. I believe it was, it's the French one with the E with the accent. Because there's saber. There's, there's other version of sword, and then there's...
Yeah.
So fencing, what I find really cool about it is that they're wearing these like robot outfits, right?
Yep.
That have sensors all in them that say if you got hit by the sword. There's no like...
Hot!
What were they used to do before this? Like, if you barely touch somebody, these new suits pick it up. But back in the day, was it like, oh, I got you. No, you didn't. What are you talking about?
No. They're surrounded by like 30 people with binoculars who are looking very, very, very closely so they see the content.
Maybe they paint the edge of the sword with paint, and if you get paint
like paintballing.
On you, like a paint party.
Like paintballing.
Like paintballing, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, when does paintballing get added to the Olympics?
Is it in there already?
No.
Maybe?
Imagine,
we
though.
We don't even know.
Imagine
you and me are ignorant.
Who's on the USA paintball team? It's a bunch of dudes in backwards fitted caps.
Yes, it's the guys from Woodstock of 99.
And they all have monster sponsorships.
All of, as they got out of prison, they formed the Team USA paintballing team. my favorite event so far has been women's water polo. Women's water polo. What many of you listening don't realize is that you would die if you tried to play water polo.
Most
and
dangerous
what I mean
game.
By you would die is that you would drown to death.
How do they do this? How are they swimming and like treading water and being athletic and like dunking each other under the water?
One of the things that most don't realize is that you're not touching the floor of the pool, okay? You're having to swim the whole time and you're being clawed at. And by the way, in women's water polo, like these bitches will fuck you up. Like every single one of them could whoop my ass.
There's also a like very rude trend in women's water polo where they'll like pull their swimsuits down and to
claw at each other out there. It's bonkers. I played water polo at Camp Ozark when I was like 14 years old with floaties on and still almost drowned. This is nuts.
How old were you?
14-ish.
You had floaties at 14?
No, we played water polo, but we all had floating device. It was a joke on the comedy podcast we do together. What an idiot.
I mean, you sounded kind of sincere.
That's how jokes are made
now
sometimes.
Now you're walking it back. Ross used floaties in the pool at 14.
Out of all the things that you've made up about me, that would be the least ridiculous. It's just a disappointing show so far from Team USA and Jared.
Do we? Come on. Are we going to turn it around? We have all of our big events left, right? Like gymnastics, we're going to clean up.
I hope you do.
No. Swimming, we usually clean that up.
Yeah. No, I'm not really worried. We're still going to slaughter everybody, I think, because it's, you know, what we do. But and I'm not even worried about Team USA. I think Durant is crazy enough to come out and take it over, especially because I watched what Luka just did for Slovenia. And he scored like 42 points. Only two people have ever done this in the Olympics or something like that. It's like the second highest scoring game in Olympic history for Slovenia. So I think KD might go bonkers the rest of the tournament and just carry our sad asses to like a, you know, semifinal against Spain where we depressingly lose. And
to Ricky Rubio.
Remember that this is not our finest hour as a country.
Does he play for Spain?
Anymore? I don't know. He's kind of old now. Mm. He was always highly overrated. It's one of those guys where I was like, what?
If you play on the...
Please don't trade for him, Maury.
If you play on the Timberwolves, I feel like you get overrated somehow.
A little bit. I mean, you're in Minnesota, hon, you know. There's just not a whole lot going on other than a couple of strange murders here and there to be solved by some local podunk cops that have quirky personalities to make some... Is Fargo in Minnesota?
Nope, that's in North Dakota.
Yeah, okay.
I was wondering. I was like, I caught where you were going with that, and I was going to let you finish and then point that out. But
Jared, I have a question for you. A challenge for you, even.
Okay.
Fill in the blank. Brush, floss, and then?
Ross.
If you didn't say rinse, you may not be getting a complete clean. Mouthwash is a key part of your whole mouth's health because it gets between teeth to kill bad breath germs and help strengthen enamel. Thankfully, the oral care experts at Quip created a super simple way to make mouthwash part of your daily oral care routine. This episode of RBP is brought to you by Quip. You know Quip, the makers of the electronic toothbrush and floss you hear all about all the time on this show for many years now, and they've been huge supporters of RBP. They've launched a new mouthwash to help you complete your clean. Jared loves it. I love it. Jared, tell us about it.
Cool Quip. No, I love this mouthwash. It just sits right on your counter, and it doesn't just look like one of those weird, you know, bottles of blue liquid, and people are like, what the hell is that?
Mouthwash containers have always been a major problem. They're gross looking, they're see-through, they're crusty, the liquid is scary, everything about it is disgusting.
But yeah, but so Quip, it's got this beautiful thing, it sits on your counter, it looks like an artistic piece, like an artsy design you bought at a thrift store for like $500.
People are going to be like, wow, what is that?
And then the mouthwash is...
Is that How's Your Personal Genie?
It's clear. It's not weird blue, and you're like, oh, what am I putting in my body?
Is this toxic?
And it's concentrated, so you put it in a little cup, put a little bit of water in there, swirl it around, put it in your mouth, swirl it around in your mouth, and you're like, boom, spit it out, clean mouth.
You don't want your mouthwash to look or taste like a cleaning product that you would use on a, you know,
window.
Glass table or a window or something, all right? So... Quip mouthwash kills bad breath germs, help prevent cavities, leaves you feeling fresh thanks to a formula that gives your mouth everything it needs and nothing it doesn't. Their four times concentrate has fluoride, xylitol, and CPC, but they left out the artificial colors and stinging alcohol you'll find in a lot of other rinses. Add a mouthwash refill plan and make sure your rinse never runs out. With a customizable subscription, you can easily get refills automatically delivered straight to your door every 3 months. So, you know how a lot of the times you're running out of mouthwash, you're running out of toothpaste, your toothbrush is getting worn down, and you just keep forgetting, just not finding time, just remembering to go get more refill, get new. You don't have to do that with Quip. It's amazing. And with affordable refills plus free shipping, it's so easy to keep your whole mouth healthy. Join the over 5 million mouths already using Quip and start swishing today. If you go to getquip.com/RBP5 right now, you get $5 off a mouthwash starter kit. That's getquip.com/RBP5. RBP5. $5 off a mouthwash starter kit. Includes a refillable dispenser and a 90-dose supply of Quip's four times concentrated formula at getquip.com/RBP5. GETQUIP.com/RBP5. Quip, the good habits company. So I got vaccinated over the weekend.
Please clap.
Finally got it done. Got to a place where I'm stable enough with my mental health meds that I felt comfortable. And the lesson I learned, Jared, the biggest takeaway is that if you get vaccinated now, keep it to yourself. Just don't post about it on social media. Don't tweet about it. Don't put up a picture in your Instagram story. Keep it to yourself. Because if you do, like I did, every single person that has already been vaccinated wants to tell you their exact vaccination experience and every facet of their existence during the 48 hours that followed. Oh, which one did you get? Like, I really don't want to tell you. Yeah, well, I got the Moderna, and so after the first shot, you know, I felt pretty okay. After the second shot, 3 hours in, or whatever, 3 hours in onto the second shot, my fever spiked up to 99.7. Then 3 hours after that, I was up to 102. I took 2 ibuprofen. It dropped back down to below 100, got a nap in. I'm just like, what the fuck? I mean, most of them were people being like, yeah, it was pretty fucked. It was terrible. And I'm just like, just shut the fuck up. 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 I know it's not going to be great, but just shut the fuck up. And there's just no plus side to telling anybody that you got it now. I put up like a picture of me with like my boo-boo, you know, they give me a gigantic red Walgreens branded Band-Aid. Like Walgreens is really going for the branding opportunity here. And I put I played, you know, that song. And they say that a hero will save us. I'm not going to stand here and wait. Who sings that, Nickelback?
I have no idea. I thought.
What?
So all I saw was hero. I thought it was, I need a hero. A hero going to save me for the
That's
end of the
where
night.
You went. Not even like Mark Anthony or Anthony? Mark Anthony. By the way, J-Lo, what? What's happening there?
I don't get
it. Are her and Ben Affleck going to commit suicide together on a yacht?
I don't know what they're doing at
all. I'm freaked out.
He doesn't look happy. He never looks happy, to be fair.
She doesn't look like she's over 50. I don't think that's right.
She doesn't look over 50. Neither does Jennifer Aniston.
Dude, I just don't know which brand she got of the vaccine. I would like to know, though. When you go, they ask you if you've already got one. Is this the first COVID vaccine you've received? No, I'm getting all of them.
I'm collecting.
You fucking kidding me? It took me 4.5 months to get the mental fortitude to come in here and get one boo-boo shot from you, sir. I'm pretty goddamn positive I hadn't had any of the other ones. Serve me up that J&J. I got the one and done, the Johnson & Johnson.
Janssen?
It's funny to me that everybody has brand loyalty with the shot they got, though, and that's one of the things they'll tell you when they tell you everything about their own vaccination experience.
I got Moderna, if you're wondering.
Which I'm going to continue to do, and so will Jared over the course of this segment. So you got two shots.
I got two shots, and guess what? I didn't feel shit after either shot.
Yeah, but you're a fucking freak show, dude.
I have done a lot of gross things that probably built up my immunity to these kind of
things. You had COVID like 4.5 times in 2020.
I had COVID almost certainly once, and then
what
I also...
almost certainly once?
Well, I lived with somebody who had it, but I was never... They wouldn't test me because it was so early. They wouldn't give me a test. They were like, we're going to save this for the old people.
I almost definitely contracted it from you by hitting you with a horse whip.
Mm-hmm.
Whip.
Horse whip.
Horse whip.
Horse quip. Yeah, so everybody kept telling me, like they said to you, oh, bro, get ready, man. It's going to be pretty wild. I literally was like, I was chilling. It hurt like when you get a flu shot. Like my arm was sore.
Yeah.
But I felt totally fine. I could have gone and done whatever.
So my whole thing is like, I don't like needles, man. Yeah, that's a big part of it for me. I don't like needles. I don't like doctors.
You don't like needles? Is that why you don't like your own penis?
No. My needle dick? No, I still love my own needle dick. But I don't like doctors. I don't like needles. Shit freaks me out. And when you go get this thing at Walgreens, you're sitting out there. They're like, all right, we'll come out and get you in a few minutes. And there's like other people waiting and shit. And then you're like, all right, cool. And the guy comes out like 10 minutes later after it's, you know, they take it out the freezer or whatever. It takes a minute to like inoculate or something. I don't fucking know. I'm not a scientist. Shut up. And he walks out with a chair, and I'm like, cool, cool. He's taking that into like a back room to sit me down. No. He set the chair down right out there in front of everybody and was like, all right, have a seat. And I was like, what? I've never had to get a shot. Like, it's like when you're playing golf and you're on the tee box, yep, and another team drives up and they're watching. And it's like, it's not a big deal. It doesn't really matter. But also it really fucking does. And like, could you not be here and watch me? And like, I'm going to blow this drive now. Except at the doctor, I'm like, I'm going to cry. Like, could y'all fucking turn away at least? Like, I'm a huge baby about shots, okay? I'm a huge baby about being sick. I'm a huge baby about health stuff in general. I've dealt with enough of the mental health side of things to where when physical health shit happens, I just fucking freak out, man. I can't take anymore.
Yeah, people say that the reason you went sober and don't drink alcohol is because you hate shots so much that bled into the alcohol shots.
Shots.
That's like
a PTSD actually my
song.
Least favorite thing in the entire world over shots with a needle even. Like, I just, the stupidest idea, we all fucking hate them and we can't stop. And every single one of us has gone out at least one night of our lives and been like, all right, tonight I'm just not going to take any shots. And then you have a few beers, and then what do? You have some shots. And those shots are the reason these other shots even have to exist. It wasn't Wuhan. It wasn't a lab, Jared. Some asshole taking a fucking shot out of a bar rag.
You think I caused COVID?
Jared did COVID.
Patient zero.
By the way, the vaccine card they give you is fucking pathetic. Were not kidding.
I was talking about this with somebody. Why would they make the vaccine card bigger than like a wallet? Like, am I supposed to carry this around loose leaf?
One of the biggest mistakes in human history. Like, think about the scale of how stupid this is. You're telling me nobody went, guys, let's just make it fit the same size as a driver's license or whatever. Let's just make it fit in a wallet. I have to fold it up and cram it in there like my insurance card. They just had this size paper laying around, clearly, from some other shit. How long are we going to have to endure this mistake, though? How much more is left over after the COVID vaccine cards? When the next pandemic happens, by then, will they have fixed it?
So I actually think that the reason why they had that specific card stock left over is because those were all from the invitations to the Trump inauguration.
Please clap.
We have fun.
Please clap. But seriously, they're also the most easily replicatable things ever. I could make one of these, like a fake one. So.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. There's no like hologram.
No effort here at all. No effort here. It's like y'all put out 46 iterations of the dollar bill over the past 400 years to make sure that it couldn't be counterfeited. And then you served us up a vaccine card to restart society properly that a 6-year-old could make on a computer. Great.
Yep. Same person designed that who designed Richard Jefferson's tattoo. Which I actually believe was like his 6-year-old son or something.
Oh, poor Richard Jefferson. Just never going to stop making fun of him on this show, though.
I really do like him as a commentator. I think he's good.
I like him just in general. As a basketball player, a person, that's just the fucking stupidest tattoo of all time. It's like, you got to own it kind of almost, right? For branding.
Somebody said his child actually designed it, and it's kind of heartwarming.
Oh, that is actually tight. Now I have no actual issues with it at all. Whatever. Alopecia? Anyway, don't tell anyone if you get vaccinated now. But go do get vaccinated. Just like don't tell anybody. You don't need to tell anybody is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're me. Jared, it's summertime. It's very, very hot outside. Hot as balls, some would say. And your balls need a safe space to spend these scorching months. Enter our sponsor, Bird Dogs.
I'm wearing my Bird Dogs as we speak.
The most comfortable shorts in the world. Bird Dogs. You can go swimming in them, climb a tree, play cricket, record a podcast like Jared is right now. They also make pants. For golf, or for life, or for love.
Swimming.
For swimming. If you want to be a part of the revolution, like Jared and I, we're swimming in pants all summer 2021. Bird Dogs, they're incredibly comfortable shorts with built-in underwear. Even their pants have the underwear built in. Nobody will even know, though. They look so nice. You're just cheating the system, winning at life. And frankly, they make pants without the built-in underwear, too, if you just want incredibly comfortable and good-looking pants but are too afraid to live like an outlaw. What's more, Jared, do you remember when you were a little kid and you'd go to a fast food restaurant or get to the bottom of a bowl of cereal and there'd be a toy with your meal?
Bottom of a bowl of cereal? I usually take it out of the box.
Bottom of the box, bottom of the bowl. Who knows? But when you order Bird Dogs using the code RBP, you're always getting some kind of awesome toy with your order or a deadly weapon like nunchucks. At one point, they were giving out nunchucks. Then they gave out rubber ventilated lawn cleats. And now when you order the most comfortable shorts or pants in the world, with or without underwear from birddogs.com, using the code RBP to support the podcast, you get a free whistling football with your order because you listen to RBP and wear the most comfortable goddamn shorts or pants on earth from Bird Dogs. Congratulations. That's birddogs.com. Free whistling football, baby. It's like a Nerf, but it's Bird Dogs. Code RBP, code RBP, birddogs.com. I had a... Thank you, Jared, for the dance moves with the football. I had a... exterminator out at my house recently to treat my house for bugs. My arm still hurts. For the first time. All right. So this house has not been treated for bugs since I owned it. Okay. Not the office we're sitting in, my house. And when you treat a property for insect control for the first time, if you're not a homeowner or you're younger or whatever, you may not know this. The immediate aftermath is that there are goddamn bugs fucking everywhere. Okay, mosquitoes, spiders, gnats, sugar ants, cockroaches, they're all coming out of the woodwork. And it just made me think about, like, look, like, it's kind of strange that there are bugs every... Like, this is their planet, and we're just living on it. If at any moment the bugs decide to squat up and overtake us, we are done here. Do you understand? Like, if they get strategic, it's over.
The only reason why we haven't died yet is because all the bugs hate each other and they eat each other, and so they're not going to band together for us.
We are not the apex predators on this planet. The bugs are simply lazy.
How many ants would it take to carry you?
You ever watched one of the Mummy movies with Brendan Fraser?
No.
Of course you haven't. I mean, beetles, man, they'll get you. Scarab beetles. They'll eat you friggin' whole.
Really?
Ants, too, though. We did an Animal of the Week one time. This crazy ant. Just Google the Ross Boland podcast, Animal of the Week ant. Bet it'll pop up if you want to listen to that episode. And, there are all kinds of crazy ants out there, Jared. Some of them will eat you up. And about a billion of them get on you and just fucking devour you.
A lot of, some crazy ants will get you the same, birthday present every year and forget. And it's like, oh, thanks for the socks, you bitch.
I once got bit by an ant on the tip of my penis.
Whoa.
When I was swimming in my grandparents' pool.
Wait.
So I was swimming, right? I'm in the pool. I'm like, I'm a 12-year-old boy. I'm having fun in the pool. I love my grandparents and my family. My dog's here with me.
You're saying.
And then all of a sudden I go, And I'm like, fuck, dude, my penis. And I get out of the pool and I run into the bathroom and I pull my pants down, my swimsuit down, my Bird Dogs down. I was living in the future. I traveled from the future back to the past in Bird Dogs from birddogs.com using the code RBP. And I pulled my Bird Dogs down and there was an ant just fucking clinging to the tip of my penis, hanging off there by his chompers. And I was like, why? bro. And I had to rip him off. And that was it.
You ripped him off?
Rip him right off. Bugs are everywhere.
Are they not in this house?
Not in this one. Okay, we're in right now. Good. We're straight. This place has been treated many times. Many treatments, Jared. Many, many treatments. But is this how the aliens look at us? Like in the universe, in the grand scheme of things, like the way we look at bugs, like we're a nuisance to be exterminated? Because you want to root for the bugs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
I get that they serve a purpose here and they're part of the ecosystem. And, you know, spiders eat the whatever, eat the something else, circle of life. I've seen Lion King. But when I'm out there and I walk through a spider web and then one's on my face and I'm screaming, you know, and then like a fucking giant ant bites my dick, like I can't abide by that. I'm sorry. Like it has to be recourse. And the recourse is extermination. Exterminate me, Daddy.
I actually go out of my way to free any bugs that are trapped in my house.
I do too, Jared. I'm a big bug advocate. I love A Bug's Life. Great movie.
That is
solid
a good movie.
Flick. I even like a B movie, as problematic as that may be.
Did you know, Ross, that all the laws of aerodynamics say that a bee with its tiny little wings and its large body shouldn't be able to fly, and yet they're able to?
Yes, because they say that repeatedly in a B movie. I think it's the first line of a B movie. I think you and me have lived this exact moment before. Just watch B movie.
Well, the reason why I like to watch B movie is because they explain pretty well that a bee, with all the laws of aerodynamics, shouldn't be able to fly because it has tiny little wings and a big fat body.
Yes.
Yet the bee is still able to fly.
Yes, but it's still able to achieve flight. We get it.
Wait, you get it?
Yes. No, we understand.
I mean,
according to the laws of thermodynamics, don't correct me, a bee shouldn't be able to fly.
Tiny little wings and a big fat body.
Look, the whole point of this segment was to go watch Bee Movie. Everybody watch Bee Movie.
Jerry Seinfeld at his best.
And worst. So write about it. Tweet about what you think about it, what it means for modern society, and you know, kind of extrapolate it out. Really get deep. Smoke a joint before. But get on your blog or your Twitter, your TikTok, and really talk about it a lot. Let's get deep into B movie, okay? Also, I'm just sick of the bugs. They're everywhere. Mosquitoes, look. This is the last time I'm going to complain about mosquitoes this summer on the show. If I go outside for 5 minutes and stand there in my backyard right now, and then I come back inside, I have like 30 mosquito bites all over my legs.
Ross, look at my leg right now. Look at this.
Okay, yeah. Jared's got huge mosquito bites all over his ankles, which is, they seem to like the ankle for some reason. They're little ankle biters. And I just, it's like, God damn it. And we even have that thing in some neighborhoods in Texas, where they'll drive by, they drive through the street with mosquito spray and they just spray it everywhere.
I've never seen this.
It's wild. And even that shit doesn't do it. Like, I just don't know how to combat these freaking skeeters, man.
It's hard to combat mosquitoes because, you know, given the laws of aerodynamics, they are supposed to be able to fly, and they do quite well.
Tons of content coming this final week of July on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. 5 columns from Ross and Jared. 2 mental health minisodes for enforcers and up. Ad-free Friday episodes all in this final week of July on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. And all of those things are exclusive to Patreon for people, listeners, fans of RBP and Bolin Media who are there supporting us. For those of you who are unaware, Bolin Media is simply Jared and I, as well as a team of interns that help us part-time and a contract employee in Barrett Dudley who does oysters, clams, and cockles for us. But yeah, that's it. Jared and I are the only full-time employees. We work on this all day, all night, pretty much all of the time.
If you're wondering, here's how the day works. I wake up in my apartment and I come to Ross's house and then we make content all day. And then I go home and I spank my own tight little ass and then I come back the next day.
Yes. The only reason he spanks his own tight little ass at home is to keep it warmed up for me when he gets back here. So yeah, the way you can support the show, the company, and make sure that we get to continue to do this and make it even bigger and better moving into the future is by going to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Of course, the other biggest way is by supporting our sponsors, of which today we had four: birddogs.com, code RBP, getquip.com/RBP5, moinkbox.com/Ross, and the old thinkjinx.com/RBP for your dogs. For the doggies. So, patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. It's final week of July. You're getting an ad-free Friday episode. But on top of that, if you're in the Enforcer tier or the OG tier, two mental health minisodes, one of which is being recorded right after this show about Kanye West as he pertains to mental health. And then five columns from Ross and Jared, one of which will be the Bolin Media Update for everybody to read. The other four will be available to the Enforcers and the OGs only. If you jump on right now, if you join Patreon right now as you're listening, you get everything from our backlog as well. So all the existing columns and episodes that are ad-free and fun are there for you to enjoy, son or daughter, friend, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, grandpa, grandma, whoever you may be. Hope you enjoyed this episode of RBP. Go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast for more. Jared and I will be back on Wednesday. J-Bone! Also, follow at Formula Bone everywhere. The best F1 coverage in the internet coming from Bolin Media and Jared Borslow. Huge start on TikTok. We're two videos in, over 700,000 views, I think, at this point, like almost 20,000 followers or something. It's craziness on there. At Formula Bone on TikTok, on Instagram.
I'm taking off, baby.
On Twitter. The Bone Man is taking over the F1 world. We love to see it. Thank you again for being here. Back on Wednesday. Until then, deuces.